This is CBJ in 30, presented by Telhio Credit Union. Find out more and open an account online at telhio.org. Now here's your host, Bob McGilligan.
You get tired and disgusted with me when I can't be just what you want me to be. I still love you and I try real hard. I swear one day you'll have a brand new car. I even asked the Lord to try to help me. He looked down from heaven, said to tell you, please just be patient. I'm a work in progress.
The Blue Jackets continue to work to get ready for the regular season, which is less than 2 weeks away. This week, the Blue Jackets played four of their seven preseason games, and they've put together a record of 2 wins and 2 losses. They have beaten the Buffalo Sabres and the Pittsburgh Penguins. They have lost to the Pittsburgh Penguins and the St. Louis Blues. Welcome to CBJ in 30, presented by Telhio Credit Union. I'm Bob McElligott. At Telhio Credit Union, they have whatever you need in the way of banking. They do, whether it's a personal checking account, savings account, whether it's a business, they have it there for you too. Need a loan? Go there and check out their rates and look at all the different things that they have, because you will find a lot, and you will find a lot that you can tailor to fit whatever it is that you're looking for. Go online and find them at telhio.org. Now, today is Monday, and during training camp, as you know, I'm doing Monday mailbag editions of this show, so I have questions that you have asked that I am going to answer, and I think it's just time to get right into it. We'll just do it immediately, right away. I have some thoughts. I have some thoughts on yesterday's game in St. Louis, the 5-3 loss for the Blue Jackets. I have some overall thoughts, but you have some questions that will lead me to those thoughts. So I don't want to take away from you. I just want to get right at it and get going. Now, I'm going to warn you right off the bat. I'm going to start this a little bit on the boring side, okay? Because I'm going to drone here a little bit. Not me, but this show is going to drone here for about 5 minutes. For the next 5 minutes, it might sound like Charlie Brown's teacher to you, but I want you to get through the droning, and I want you to listen, because there's some valuable information in what I'm about to play for you. And what I'm going to play answers the first question of the day, which comes from Benjamin Krantz. And Benjamin says, can you explain and review all of the rule changes for this year, or at least those that matter? And there are a lot of rule changes this year. It's kind of funny, because last year they made a few little tweaks in the rules. They made a few tweaks in the rules, and they added some things. That was like when you review an offside, you had to put, you didn't put your timeout on the table for that. If you were wrong, you gave up a penalty for delay of game. So if you challenged a goal, whether or not it should count because of offside, if you were right, that was great. If you were wrong, not only did the goal count, then you were automatically shorthanded for the next 2 minutes. So that was a couple of years ago, one of the bigger things that the league did. Then last year it was really quiet. Last year was my favorite, because there was like nothing in the way of rule changes. But then the season played out, and more importantly, the playoffs played out, and there were some really weird and bad situations in the playoffs that people panicked over, I think, and they felt that the only way to resolve a lot of this was to add more video replay. There are those that say more video replay is going to slow the game down and make it more boring, that it's going to take away from the overall flow. They're probably right. The only way that'll be able to be assessed is once we see how many replays there actually are and how it's affecting things. But there is, to me, that there is a there's an argument for taking a second look. This game moves so fast, and things happen that the human eye may not detect. If you're an official on the ice and there are four of them, there are still things that are missed, and that's because they are human. So looking at something a second time probably isn't a bad idea. And the league addressed many situations that occurred last year, and they addressed it with more video replay. So that is the biggest rule, but I just want to play for you this description coming from the league. So Benjamin, I'll get you all the rule changes and what they all mean. And again, it might sound like a school lesson here as it starts going on, but I ask you, I beg you to pay attention to it, because all the information that you're looking for is right here, and then you can process it at your leisure. You can play this back and listen to it again and again and look at every situation if you would like. But here are the rule changes this year in the National Hockey League.
The National Hockey League has approved a series of rule changes for the 2019-20 season. These rules include the expanded use of video review, enhanced player safety initiatives, as well as promoting more offense and flow in the game. Perhaps the biggest change next season comes with the expansion of video review. Referees will review any major or match penalty call, excluding fighting majors. After review, the major or match penalty can be confirmed or reduced to a minor penalty. However, it cannot be rescinded. Referees will also have the option to review any double minor penalty for high sticking. After review, the double minor can be confirmed or rescinded in the case of friendly fire. A double minor high sticking penalty, however, cannot be reduced to a minor penalty. In both cases, video review will only be used to review a penalty that is called. Video review will not be used to add a penalty. Video review will also not be used to increase a penalty, for example, from a minor to a major. On to the coach's challenge. A third category will be added to the coach's challenge rule. In addition to goalie interference and offside, plays in the offensive zone that should have resulted in a stoppage but did not prior to a goal can now be challenged. Examples include pucks that hit the spectator netting, a hand pass to a teammate in the offensive zone, or pucks that are high stick in the offensive zone.
Another change to the coach's challenge rule. The consequences of an unsuccessful coach's challenge will now be made consistent across all three categories.
For the first unsuccessful challenge, a team is charged a minor penalty for delay of game. For the second unsuccessful challenge, a double minor penalty for delay of game. There is no penalty, of course, for a successful challenge, and teams may challenge as many plays as they wish. Like in previous seasons, plays in the final minute of the third period and in overtime will be handled by the NHL's situation room. Other rule changes include Rule 9.6, helmets. A player on the ice whose helmet comes off during play shall be assessed a minor penalty if he does not either exit the playing surface or retrieve and replace his helmet properly on his head within a reasonable period of time. What is reasonable is at the discretion of the official. If a player is making a play on the puck or is in the vicinity of the puck and engaged in the play at the time his helmet comes off, the official may allow him to complete the play before either exiting the ice or retrieving and replacing his helmet. A player who intentionally removes an opponent's helmet during play will be assessed a minor penalty for roughing. Also new for next season, anytime the attacking team is responsible for a puck going out of play in the offensive zone, the ensuing faceoff shall stay inside the offensive zone. Previously, faceoffs remained inside the offensive zone in situations where the puck was shot at the net. One of the many rules introduced in 2005-06 was not permitting the defensive team a line change following an icing. Next season, there will be two more scenarios where the defensive team will not be allowed a change. First, when a goalie freezes the puck on any shot from outside the center red line. Second, if the actions of a skater on the defensive team causes a stoppage by unintentionally dislodging the net from its moorings. This does not, however, include a goalie unintentionally dislodging his net. Keep in mind, where the defensive team intentionally dislodges the net will remain a penalty for delay of game.
In these two new scenarios, in addition to the defensive team not being allowed a change, no timeout shall be given to the defensive team, and no commercial timeout will be permitted.
The final rule change relates to faceoff location. Next season, there will be four scenarios where the offensive team will get to select which end zone faceoff dot they wish the faceoff to take place. Following an icing, following a goalie freeze on a shot from outside the red line, following a defensive skater unintentionally dislodging the net, and on the first faceoff to begin a power play. These are the rule changes for the NHL's 2019-20 season.
So there they are, all the rule changes for this season, rules that are already being implemented, although we haven't dealt with any of the replays or the reviews yet. But on the power play, the players picking which faceoff dot that they want to go to after an icing call, which faceoff dot, those things are going on right now. I haven't harped on it because I haven't even really noticed, but that is going on. You can get an advantage. You can decide where you want to take the draw from. So those things are happening. All of this is going on. And like I said, you can go back and replay that anytime that you want to and, you know, think about the rule changes and you'll see them. You'll start to see them come into play. As soon as that regular season starts, I guarantee you we're going to start seeing a lot of these things. Hopefully not an overabundance, quite frankly, but we're going to see a lot of them. So that's what's going on with the rules for this season. Now, it is time to get to some more questions, and I want to get to this question right now from Nick Johnson. He says, who do you think surprises us all and makes the team out of camp? Nick, I don't know if there are going to be any real surprises of a guy that you didn't think was going to make it that is going to make it. I think Emil Bemström has been talked about all summer that he is going to make it. I think they're going to find a role for him. I'll talk about Sonny Milano here. I have a question about Sonny in just a bit. I think, at least at the beginning, Sonny's going to be a part of it. So that's not going to be a surprise. But one guy that keeps showing up in this preseason is Jakob Lilja. Now, Lilja comes over here from Europe. He's an older guy. He's 26 years old. He's had a good career in Europe, and he wants to prove that he can play in the National Hockey League. So the Blue Jackets sign him to a contract. They bring him over for a year. They let him see what he can do. And yesterday he had two goals against the St. Louis Blues, and that's really good. There's, you know, no doubt that that's really good. But he's shown up before that. In the other games that he has played, he has been very visible. So, Nick, to answer your question, I don't think that he's going to make the team, and I just don't see the opportunity for him at the beginning to be here. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm not factoring everything in somehow, but I don't see when you've got Texier and Bemström and Milano with his waiver situation, and I just don't see how or where he fits in here, but he has been a nice player to watch so far during this training camp. As a matter of fact, after yesterday's game, we talked with Brad Shaw, Blue Jackets assistant coach, who talked about yesterday's loss in St. Louis. Heard from him as far as his opinions on Lilja and how he's played.
Yeah, he shows he competes at the puck, and he has some quickness. He has lots of elements that you like, and he scores two great goals. So, you know, he's put himself in the discussion for sure, and it's great. It's like you like to see guys step up when they know it's on the line, and, you know, he came through with a good game. So, you know, credit to him, and, you know, it allows him to maybe get another look down the line here. So it's all that internal competition is great for us down the road.
I also had the chance to talk with Lilja himself about this training camp and about his self-evaluation as to where he is.
I think that in the games that you have played, you have shown up. Not so much scoring goals until today, but you've been there. You've been noticeable. How good does it feel to be noticeable and to put a couple pucks in the net?
Yeah, of course, that's a good feeling to score and try to contribute as much as possible. And I want to be a two-way player, so obviously it's a big step coming to a higher league. So you have to start like from behind and start doing the defensively stuff good. But it's always nice to score goals too.
I know that in any game you want to win, and when you don't win a game, it's disappointing. But it is a preseason game, and so you're supposed to work on your own little things here. Especially, how do you feel that you're coming along just overall in camp?
Like beginning, I think we all were working hard and getting a little bit tired, but that's how it is. And as soon as you, this is my first time, so you get into it more and more and start feeling better for every day. So I think it's just fun to be out there and play. And as I said before, it's like start feeling better and better.
course, coming over here from Europe, you know, you want to take on the challenge, proving that you can play in the National Hockey League. You know, how many differences are you seeing right now in just the way things go, the way the game is being played here and all of that?
It's a little different game, smaller ice. So, like, if you lose the puck in wrong places, it's creating scoring chances right away. And the top players, especially us, is really skilled, so you don't want to lose the puck to them. But overall, it's like a high-speed game, and even in pro level in Sweden, it's really defensively. So I think it's just better players and smaller ice, so everything goes a little bit faster.
As it goes on here, and you never know how many more chances you're going to get in preseason games, you know, was it big for you to do what you did today, and if you get another chance to somehow even be better than that?
Yeah, of course. I want to play good all the games that I get here, so I can show what I can do and try and be my best every day, and that's all I can do. And of course, I want to be better next game. That's how I think every time.
So again, Jacob Lilja is a guy that was talked about just a little bit over the summer when he signed. He wasn't talked about as much as Emil Bemström, but he has really done a good job in this training camp with the things that they have asked him to do. Next question comes from Jason, and he says, I think Sonny Milano will make the team out of camp and will have every opportunity if they view him as a top six forward. People want him to get leapfrogged, but I think it's better to keep him instead of walk next year. Not really a question, just want your thoughts. Well, my thoughts, Jason, are based on the lines yesterday, and if you look at training camp and these preseason games, you can read more into the line combinations than maybe there is. But look at yesterday, Wennberg playing with Nyquist and Bjorkstrand. We've seen that a couple of times. We've seen Texier with Dubois and Atkinson. Looks like that's going to be what they'll start off with at the beginning of the year. Jenner, Foligno, and Anderson, no-brainer. Those guys are going to play together. So you're not going to see Sonny Milano in the top six. Let's just be honest about it. You're not. What you saw yesterday was Riley Nash playing in between Emil Bemström and Sonny Milano. I think that is much more reasonable as a fourth line, believe it or not. Now, where does Brandon Dubinsky fit in? That's a great question. Now, Dubinsky did move up and take that center spot instead of Nash for a little bit yesterday, but then Nash came back into the middle on that line. But Sonny Milano, look, he's not beating out those other guys. He's just not going to do it right now. And as good as he's done in this camp offensively, the thing that continues to plague him is his defense. And yesterday, it's not fair to single out one play all the time, but he had a terrible turnover at his own blue line that resulted in a goal against. Those are the kind of things when you're a player that already has that knock against him about making plays like that that result in great chances or scores for the other team. When it happens in the preseason, it jumps out. So I think Sonny is going to be maybe an in and out of the lineup guy. I think he's going to be a fourth line guy. And look, before you get all hung up on what line number it is, if the Blue Jackets are going to change their style of play, which they must, if they are going to play more defensively, if they are going to play harder, if they are going to grind more, the fact of the matter is you need all four lines to do that. Your fourth line is not going to be just coming out there for 6 minutes a game, okay? So they're going to need to be more balanced across all the lines. So don't get hung up on if Sonny Milano's on the fourth line, where he belongs in a top six and all that. Everybody's going to have a share in what's going on here, okay? So, again, keep all that in mind. Keep it in mind. But I think, for them to put him through waivers, I think that they've looked to make trades involving Sonny Milano in the past, and they haven't panned out, but I don't know if you want to put him on waivers and let somebody just take him for free. I think somebody might take him for free. I think a team that might not trade for him and give something up would certainly turn around and take him for free. So I look for him to be here at the beginning anyway. Let's see. Next one. Babushka Jokan. Twitter handles. Got to love him. Says, right now, who's starting in net on October 4th? I'm going to tell you my opinion, Jonas Korpisalo. I don't see that changing. I think he will be playing against the Toronto Maple Leafs, and I wonder if he'll be playing the next night against the Pittsburgh Penguins. You know, think about that. You've got two young goalies trying to win the job, and look at your first two opponents, Toronto and Pittsburgh. So even if you split them, who's taking what, and what's the losing hand there? I mean, who has the better matchup if you split them, right? But I think Corpusalo is going to start. I think he has looked. I think he's looked good in this camp. Has he looked great? I don't think he's looked great. I think he's looked good. Which leads me to my next question from Maria DeVito, who says, what are your thoughts on Elvis so far? Listen, Elvis is learning. He's learning on the fly, and he is making adjustments. I think every game that he has played, he has made better adjustments. He played the whole game yesterday. He made adjustments. But there are still deficiencies he's going to have to overcome, and much of it, most of it, 99% of it, is coming from Europe and making the adjustment to the smaller rink. And again, this is my opinion, and I understand what he did. I understand that there was the ability to manipulate the contract the way he did at the end of last year and get the one-way deal and all that, but I would have felt so much better if he would have went to Cleveland and played at the end of last year and played in the playoffs and got used to some of this stuff while there was actual good competition going on at the end of last season. I think he would have been far ahead of where he is right now had he done that at the end of last year. But that's me. And there are so many other factors involved in it, okay, that I have no control of. I probably don't have knowledge of many of them. I'll give you that. But I'm just saying I wish he would have come over and played in Cleveland. I think it would have done him a lot of good. I think he's further behind now because he didn't do that. But he's learning on the fly, and he made some big saves yesterday in St. Louis. But, there, you know, the angles, the traffic, all the things we've talked about in the past, he still has to make better adjustments to that stuff. And he is, but is he going to have everything done in 2 weeks? The answer is no. He's not. He's not going to have everything done in 2 weeks. Now, what Elvis gives you that what he doesn't give you technically, he gives you with battle and heart. All right? And that goes a long way, too. But those are my thoughts on Elvis. I think he's, you know, Corpusalo is ahead of him because of the experience he's had here over the past 3 years. And, again, when Elvis figures all that out, maybe that changes. But to me right now, if you're saying to me, pick the goalie for opening night, I'm not even blinking an eye before I say Jonas Corpusalo. Jeremy G. says, what are three quick storylines that you're looking forward to seeing unfold over the course of the season? Jeremy has another part to the question. I'll answer this part first. The three quick storylines, the goalies are the number one, because that's going to make or break this whole season, guys being able to keep the puck out of the net. The second storyline is, can Alexander Wennberg lock down that number two centerman position and get back to being the guy he was a couple years ago when he was scoring 60 points in a season? So that's the second one. And a third storyline for me, what will third storyline be for me? Can Alexander Texier and Emil Bemström become the impact players that the organization thinks that they can become? So those are my three storylines. Jeremy also says, who is the new radio intermission person for the broadcast? Ryan Mitchell left to coach wrestling, right? High school wrestling. Yes, Ryan Mitchell did. He took the varsity coaching job at Grove City High School. And he'll be coaching a bunch of kids that he's coached for years as they're growing up. He'll also be coaching his son there, so congratulations to him. I think it's a great move. I think it's a great opportunity. To me, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to coach at the varsity level and coach your son in the process. So I applaud him for taking that. I miss him on the same token. There's no question about that. But Dylan Tyre is our new host, and Dylan has been here for the past 3 years. He started as an intern 3 years ago. And he came from Ohio State. He was going to school to Ohio State. He interned as a sophomore. In both his junior and senior year, he worked for us part-time on game nights. He did an exceptional job and does an exceptional job managing our CBJ Radio Twitter account and the SoundCloud page, and he makes sure that this podcast gets to everywhere that it needs to be, and it's maintained and taken care of and put in the right lists. I mean, really, when it comes down to it, I'm limited. I do it. And I post it, and then he moves it around to where it needs to be and how it needs to be presented. So Dylan has been fantastic. I can't be any happier to have him come on. He knows his team inside and out. As I said, he's been here 3 years behind the scenes. He finally now gets to step behind the microphone, and he's doing a great job during this preseason. Next question is from Barrick Nichols. It says, Artemi Panarin was so critical to our 3-on-3 last year. Who do you see stepping up and becoming that go-to guy in overtime? Well, first of all, the less overtime games, the better, as far as I'm concerned. But to answer the question, you know, Panarin was really good, but he would stay out there for, like, the entire overtime as well. I think that guys like Texier and Bemstrom are going to be more important in that role, especially because they shoot the puck, and they shoot it well. And I'll be honest with you. Somebody, a couple questions ago, it was three storylines. How we fare in overtime is not one of them in my mind. However, you do make a good point in asking, because there are many points to be had in winning overtime games. But I think Texier and Bemstrom are going to be those guys in the overtimes when they get more room. There's more space and more creativity that they can do. I think that a combination of those guys steps up there. Derek Ehrman says, what are your thoughts on the notion that John Tortorella could put Bemstrom on the fourth line, 5-on-5, and have a Sam Gagner-type role on the power play? Would love to see him in some 3-on-3 overtime as well, assuming he makes the roster. Well, Derek, you heard me just talk about the 3-on-3. I think he's going to make the roster, and I think that that will be his role, and I think that's a good role for him. And I'll tell you why. It's a couple of things. He is a great power play guy. We've talked about that. We've seen it in the preseason. And with him on the fourth line, and especially with, let's say, Sonny Milano's on the other side, like I talked about a little bit earlier, Emil Bemstrom, what I've seen from him in camp, I like the offense of him, but defensively what he's doing is great. It's really great. I think he's a very good two-way player, and he's noticeable defensively. So if you put him out with a guy like Milano who can have some defensive gaffes, and you have a really good, solid defensive forward on the other side, I think that helps you out a ton. And I'm discounting Riley Nash, which I shouldn't be, who's a good defensive centerman as well. But, yeah, I think that would be a good role for Emil, especially to start and kind of ease him into things. And it wouldn't shock me if that is his job once we get going here. Ryan Ebersold says, what are teams looking for in the preseason? How does a coach differentiate between a player that makes the big club to being in the AHL or the ECHL? Looking forward to hearing my answer from Holtz Summit, Missouri. Well, thank you, Ryan. With this team this year, it's a little bit different because most of the roster spots are set. Okay, we're talking about two or three guys having a chance to get on the roster. When I say on the roster, it doesn't mean playing every day. It means on the roster. So it's a little bit different this year. The defense, are you looking for one guy? I guess you're looking for one guy. But let's take into consideration. Okay, let's say a guy like Marcus Hannikainen. He's on a one-way contract, which means he can be sent to the American Hockey League, but he'll make NHL money. You look at Hannikainen. I haven't mentioned him at all, and there's a reason for that, because we're talking about Bemstrom and Milano being on the fourth line. The fourth line is a spot for Marcus Hannikainen, but it doesn't look as though there's going to be a spot there. So when you're watching him, you're watching every shift that he takes and how he's trying to differentiate himself from what he's been in the past and show you that he's ready to up his game to another level. And I'm going to be honest with you, I love Marcus, but I haven't seen anything different out of him. As a matter of fact, he took a penalty the other day, and that can be one of the biggest kisses of death in the preseason when you're trying to win a job, you're trying to do more, and all of a sudden you're putting your team in jeopardy. And again, there's a different focus because coaches are looking at individual players. They're not so much looking at team play and structure. They're looking at you. They're watching what you do, and they're making their decisions based on that. You know, it's not wins or losses. It's not about how you played the power play as a team or how you killed off a penalty as a team. Or again, none of that structure. It's about individuals. They're watching individuals that they have question marks on. So if Marcus Hannikainen were told that he was going to Cleveland, I would not be surprised. And again, I don't mean to say that like I don't care or that he's not good enough or anything like that. I love the guy. But there are some more talented guys right now coming through that can do more things in a system where you're going to have to generate scoring off every single line that you're playing out there. So that's how they're looking at them. That's how they're evaluating them. It's just individual. What do you have the skills that can fit the hole that is open here? And if you have those skills but you're not ready to use them yet, then you need to go to the minors and develop more. If you don't have those skills, then you've got to go to the minors and try to find them. You know, so that's, Ryan, that's what they're doing. That's how they're looking at all of this individually through training camp. That's how they're looking at the players, more one-on-one than it is as a whole. They'll look at them as a whole start the regular season, but right now they're looking at each one individually. RLS says, I still think Yarmo is or will be looking hard at trading for a first-line forward. My question is, what do you think the chances are there is a trade made before the season starts? Give me a percentage. I'll give you a generous 10%, Russ. I'll give you a 10%. I think he's willing to go with what he has right now. And then if it's not working, then try to make some kind of a deal. But I think he likes the kids that he has. And unless somebody was a salary cap casualty of another team that you just had to go get, I think last week I might have said something different, but now I've watched four games and I've watched how they're setting things up. I think he likes what he has right now, and he's willing to start with that. So I'm going to say 10% is the percentage that the trade is made before the regular season. Coach Sean says, who has impressed you and what has impressed you during camp? Well, I talked about Jacob Lilia. He's impressed me. There's no question about that. Texier has impressed me with the way he's played. He's played a game without Dubois and Atkinson. He's played a game with them. I just like the way he's carried himself so far in this camp. Defensively, I'm just glad to see Ryan Murray. I don't know if I want to say I'm impressed with him because I've gotten used to seeing what he can do. So I'm just glad to see him out there. What has impressed me the most during this camp is just the business-like atmosphere of it. I mean, guys know what's at stake. They know the jobs that are open. They know what they've got to do, and they're just doing it. And I think that's a good thing. That's what winning organizations do. You don't worry about any of the outside noise. You come in, you do your work. You know what you have, and you know what you need to do, and you just come and do it. And that attitude has impressed me the most in this camp. Finally, Keith says, residing in the Cincinnati area and currently unable to watch on Fox Sports Ohio or via NHL TV due to local blackout restrictions, how can I watch and or even listen to the Blue Jackets? Any radio streaming online? Well, Keith, yes, there is. First of all, the two preseason games at home that are left, Friday against New Jersey, Sunday against St. Louis, we're streaming those at BlueJackets.com and on the Blue Jackets app. We're taking the radio feed and putting it as the sound for that video feed. So those two games you can watch. But during the regular season, if you go to the Blue Jackets app, if you go to the NHL app, there is a microphone or set of headphones up in the corner. You just have to click on. If you're on the Blue Jackets app, you can scroll down to a listen live option. So you can get it on your phone. You can get it easily that way. You can get it online by going to BlueJackets.com or NHL.com. It's there. So seek it out. Find it. I will be glad to have you aboard as a listener on the Blue Jackets radio network. And I'm glad to have all of you aboard for this Monday mailbag edition of CBJ and 30, presented by Telhio Credit Union. Again, the Blue Jackets are in action on Wednesday, last road trip of the preseason. They'll be in Buffalo, and as I said, at home on Friday against New Jersey, and then Sunday against St. Louis. So it's going to be another big week. We're going to find out a lot more, and players are starting to get sent out, starting to get sent to the minors, and we'll see if there are any surprises here along the way. So until next week, for this show, and until Wednesday for the game in Buffalo, I'm Bob McElligott saying so long.